Hello, OMT3701 students. In this podcast, I give you general feedback on Assignment 1. Your individual mark for Assignment 1 is available on MyUNISA. Tutorial Letter 201 with the complete solutions is also available on MyUNISA under Official Study Material. Please take the time to compare your calculations with the ones in Tutorial Letter 201. Remember, the examination consists of only written questions, so you also need to look at the way the calculations were set out in Tutorial Letter 201. This is how I would like you to answer these types of questions in the examination. So get your own calculations as well as Tutorial Letter 201 so you can see what you did while I talk you through the solutions. Pause after each question and make sure you understand the solution and maybe where you went wrong. As this was a multiple choice assignment, I can only give you general feedback. 69.9% of the students passed the assignment with an average mark of 55.6%. The highest mark was 95%. Let's talk about the individual questions. The first five questions all refer to the same problem statement. First of all, you had to identify the correct inventory model to use to answer these questions. There are basically three inventory models that we deal with in Chapter 6 of your prescribed book. The EOQ model, the quantity discount model, and the production run model. By reading the problem statement carefully, looking for keywords, you will see that it says an ice cream producer produces 400 liters of ice cream per day. There is no mention of ordering costs, only cleaning and adjusting costs, which is the equivalent of setup cost. There is also no mention of quantity discount. Taking all these keywords into consideration, it should not be difficult to see that we have to make use of the production run model. In order to answer the first five questions, make use of all the equations associated with the production run model. For question one, you would use equation 613 in Rendersteen and Hannah. Remember, the units for small d and p must be the same. Also, capital D stands for the annual demand. About 72% of the students answered question 1 correctly. Question 2. 64% of the students answered question 2 correctly. Here you had to use the annual demand divided by the optimal production quantity calculated in question 1. Question 3. 47% of the students answered question 3 correctly. You had to use equation 6-9 to calculate the average inventory. Question 4. 50% of the students answered question 4 correctly. You had to use equation 610 to calculate the annual holding cost. Question 5. 52% of the students answered question 5 correctly. The length of each production run is calculated by dividing the optimal production quantity by the daily rate to give you the answer in days. Questions 6 to 10 refer to the same problem statement. Again, you had to identify the correct inventory model up front. There is no talk of production or quantity discount. We are also given the ordering cost, so we can use the EOQ model. Question 6. 84% of the students answered question 6 correctly. Here you had to use equation 6-4 to calculate the economic order quantity. Question 7. 83% of the students answered question 7 correctly. Divide capital D by the EOQ to calculate the number of orders per year. Question 8. Only 10% of the students answered question 8 correctly. Read carefully. 64% of you used equation 6-5 as it is to calculate the total annual cost. But the question asks you specifically to use the integer values of the number of orders and order quantity. This means that you had to take the integer value of 71, calculated in question 7, and multiply it by the cost per order to get the annual ordering cost. To this cost, you had to add the annual holding cost, which is calculated using the integer value of 85, calculated in question 6. Question 9. 52% of the students answered question 9 correctly. To calculate the ROP, use equation 6-8 in Rendersteen and Hannah. In tutorial letter 201, I explained that although the units for small d and capital L should be in days as per definition, you may use other units as long as the units are exactly the same for small d and capital L. Always use at least 4 decimal places when doing a calculation and only round off the final answer. Question 10. 60% of the students answered question 10 correctly. This question required that you manipulate the EOQ equation in order to calculate the ordering cost. Question 11. 42% of the students answered question 11 correctly. The lead time is constant and is given as 2 weeks. The demand is variable as it is given as 50 plus minus 3 jars. This means the demand can be anything from 47 to 53 jars per week. So equation 617 must be used. I remind students using the 10th edition of Renders Tee & Hanna that you were supposed to contact me requesting the additional notes on safety stock, or you could have downloaded them from my UNISA. You will find equation 617 in these notes. Question 12. 77% of the students answered question 12 correctly. Most of you knew how to determine the value of Z. If you did not, look carefully at the solution in tutorial letter 201 and contact me if you still do not grasp it. Question 13. 50% of the students answered question 13 correctly. Using the correct equation from question 11 together with the Z value from question 12 and the information given, calculating the ROP is straightforward. Question 14. 45% of the students answered question 14 correctly. 46 of you have incorrectly chosen 60, option 2, as your answer. Look at the given material structure tree. For each unit of A, you need 3 units of B. Now for each unit of the 3 units of B, you need 1 unit of D. So the B units will need 3 units of D for each unit of A. On the other hand, for each unit of A, you need 4 units of C. For each one of the 4 units of C, you need 2 units of D. So the C units will need 8 units of D for each unit of A. Adding these two quantities obtained from the two branches in the material structure tree, that is 3 units of D for each unit of A via B and 8 units of D for each unit of A via C, you need 11 units of D in total for each unit of A. If I need 20 units of A, I will need 11 times 20 or 220 units of D in total. Question 15. 53% of the students answered question 15 correctly. Again, you had to work from the top of the structure down through the correct branch to E. So for each unit of A, you need 4 units of C. For each one of the 4 units of C, you need 6 units of E. So in total, you will need 24 units of E for each unit of A. If I need 10 units of A, I will need 24 times 10 or 240 units of E in total. Question 16. 59% of the students answered question 16 correctly. In order to calculate the standard deviation of the sampling distribution, we first need to calculate the mean fraction defectives, P bar. The mean fraction defectives is calculated as the total number of defectives divided by the total number of devices inspected, that is, the sample size times the number of samples. Once you have the mean fraction defectives, you can calculate the standard deviation of the sampling distribution using equation 17.9, 10th edition, or equation 16.9, 11th edition. The variable small n refers to the sample size. Question 17. 59% of the students answered question 17 correctly. For a 95.5% control limit, we use Z equal to 2. Using equation 17.7, 10th edition, or equation 16.7 11th edition, and substituting the relevant values will yield the required upper limit. Question 18. 54% of the students answered question 18 correctly. Here you had to use equation 17.8 10th edition, or equation 16.8 11th edition, with z now equal to 3 as you want the 99.7% control limit. Questions 19 and 20 refer to the same problem statement. To calculate the required control limits, you need the mean of the sample means and the average range of the samples. To calculate the mean of the sample means, you first had to calculate the sample average for each of the 5 samples and then get the average of these 5 sample averages. To calculate the range for each sample, you had to subtract the minimum value from the maximum value in each sample and then calculate the average of these 5 ranges. Question 19. 50% of the students answered question 19 correctly. In order to calculate the upper control limit for the X bar chart, you can either use equation 7.1 or equation 17.3 10th edition, or equation 16.1 or equation 16.3 11th edition. How do I know which one to use? Well, that depends on the available information. In order to use equation 17.1 or 16.1, you need the standard deviation of the sampling distribution of the sampling means. So that is sigma subscript x bar, which is calculated using the population standard deviation, which is sigma subscript x. So the population standard deviation is needed as part of the given information. You may not use a standard deviation calculated using the samples only. In order to use equation 17.3 or 16.3, you have to make use of table 17.2 10th edition or table 16.2 11th edition. This table can only be used for 99.7% limits or plus minus 3 standard deviations. Now that we have established when we can use what equation, let's look at what information we were given. Do we have this population standard deviation? No, we don't. So we cannot use equation 17.1 10th edition or 16.1 11th edition. We were asked to calculate the upper 3 sigma control limit, so we may use table 17.2 10th edition or table 16.2 11th edition, and therefore equation 17.3 or 16.3. To read off the A2 value, you need the sample size n, which is 4 in this case, as each sample has 4 observations. The A2 value is therefore 0.729. Question 20. 50% of the students answered question 20 correctly. The only equation we can use to calculate the upper limit for a range control chart is equation 17.5 10th edition or 16.5 11th edition. We read off the D4 value as 2.282, where the sample size is 4. If there are still issues from this assignment you struggle with, please contact me so we can sort them out in time, not waiting for your exam preparation at the end of the year. This is the end of the podcast on Assignment 1 Feedback.